This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It made sense to me. Like, they had Kyra Williams and they drafted Blake Corum in the third round or something like that. So maybe they find their Blake Corum in the third round or something like this year. Maybe. But you need a plan in place post-McCaffrey because it could be it this year.
Well,
it could be it.
They've also, over the years, they found Jeff Wilson Jr., Matt Breida. They found, obviously, Raheem Mostert. There's been guys that they found that have been really good for
them. They also have whiffed a lot, too.
I know, no doubt. But Elijah Mitchell is a great example of a six-round pick that, like, you squeeze the lemon on that bad boy. I know he didn't play the last year, but he was a good player before he got injured, and then he stayed injured. But this team desperately needs to be able to get stops on defense. If they're going to run the ball, no matter who's the running back, you got to be able to play complementary defense and get off the field at times. And I think the biggest problem with this team is stopping the run and getting after the quarterback.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now we are broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Good morning to all of you. Spadoni, Chasky, back. Shout out Evan Giddings for holding it down yesterday. Wasn't feeling very good. I am recovered now. I'm feeling better than ever. We got Dave Fleming coming up at 8:30, voice of the San Francisco Giants and our 95.7 The Game Giants insider for another year. So can't wait to talk to Flem about all things Giants, but also it's the round of 64, baby, starting today. Let's go. Can't wait. We'll be talking about that as the show goes on. Carter.
Joe, can we do an exercise?
A little bit later, we're going to be doing that. Maybe we'll all pick a team that we're going to be rooting for. Bracket.
Can we just do an exercise?
Sure. What's the exercise?
It's pretty simple. Pass or fail.
Okay. Well, in regards to what?
Their draft history. Because if you're going to do the whole, like, hey, trust us, bro, we're going to draft it. It's like, all right. Like, and I like Kyle Shanahan. I like John Lynch. But their draft history is kind of spotty.
Okay. Do I need NFL theme music for this?
You can do that.
Yeah, give me the NFL. Yeah, give me some prime time. We'll get that.
If we just, like, let's, okay. 2024, I'm not trying to dismiss it. But right now, I think the only player that you could say full pass on is Dominic Cooney. Started every single game for you. He was awesome.
He was awesome. He was good.
Okay, everybody else is kind of a work in progress.
We'll see.
I think it's too early to even try to make determinations. But I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I think it was a good draft class. I think it has a potential to be much better. Last year's 2023. Your first pick was Jair Brown, Jake Moody, Cameron Latu, Darrell Luter, Robert Beal, D. Winners, Braden Willis, Ronnie Bell, Jalen Graham. Pass or fail on that draft class?
Fail. And I like Jair Brown. He showed flashes, but last season, kind of regressed a little
bit. Okay. 2022's draft class. Drake Jackson was your first pick.
Yikes.
Tyron Davis Price, Danny Gray, Yikes. Spencer Burford,
oh my God.
Sammy Womack, Nick Zakel, Kalia Davis, Tariq Castro Fields, and Brock Purdy. Pass or fail?
Fail. I like Burford, but it's a fail.
Purdy?
Oh, well, yes. That's... You're right. Again, Mr. Irrelevant.
Really one player out of that
but
draft.
That's...
So that's one player of almost two full seasons of drafts.
Yeah, because I'd say, like, the Brady draft was a success. Yeah.
Okay.
So yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now let's go to this one.
Although Drake Jackson's been so awful. He was the first pick in that draft.
No, he hasn't played. He has been. 2021, Trey Lance, Aaron Banks, Trey Sermon, Ombre Thomas, Jalen Moore, D'Amino Lenore, Hufanga, Elijah Mitchell. That's a hit.
That's a good draft. That's a good draft.
But Trey Lance is one of the biggest misses in the history of the NFL.
So, yeah, exactly. So we're doing it's like the inverse of the Brock Purdy draft in a way where it's like the quarterback was so awful, but you had some key players that helped you out. So maybe we're calling it a net neutral for both of them. How about that?
Okay. 2020, Kinlaw, Ayuk, McKivitz, Warner, Jennings.
Ayuk and Jennings, they've been hits.
I agree. So it's a pass. All right, this is their best draft by far. 2019, Bosa, Debo, Jalen Hurd, Mitch Wisnowski. In the fourth round is just an absurd draft.
Still with the team.
It's as absurd as the kicker in the third round.
Still with
Dre
the team.
Greenlaw, Caden Smith, Justin School, Tim Harris. It's a clear pass.
Yes.
Okay? 2018, God, they're so lucky.
I haven't heard of Jalen Hurd in a minute.
Yeah, no one has. Mike McGlinchey, Dante Pettis, Fred Warner, Tavarius Moore, Kentavious Street, DJ Reed, who's played on a million teams, Marcel Harris, Julian Taylor, Richie James.
Yeah.
Just because of Warner.
Yes. He's a Hall of Famer.
First draft. Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster, Akello Witherspoon, CJ Beathard, Joe Williams, George Kittle, Trent Taylor, DJ Jones, some guy whose name I can't pronounce, and Adrian Colbert.
I like DJ Jones and I like George Kittle. That's about it.
I mean, they're living off of like one grand slam pick every two or three years. And there's a lot of like nothing burgers.
That's kind of what the draft is though, right? Like a little bit.
But you can't say we're trying to emulate the Rams, trust us, bro, when like... The proof is in the pudding. Like, let's call what it is. The Rams have made some good picks, and it's tough. Look, you just said it. The draft is really hard. I agree. It is hard. 30% hit rate. You're, like, a great GM.
Yes.
Okay? To find four starters in one draft, either you must be the 2017 Niners, meaning you're so awful, guys are just going to walk into starting jobs, or you're one of the greatest talent evaluators the game has ever seen. It is very, very difficult. So when I look at their roster today and they say, hey, we'll find three starters on the D-line. We'll find a linebacker. We'll find an offensive lineman. It's like, trust that plan.
Well, what's frustrating for me is like looking at what the Rams have been doing. Because we're comparing them to the Rams because the Rams have, notoriously been the team that says F them picks. Like, it's a joke. It's Les Snead's trading all the first and second round picks and getting all the big name players, giving them fat contracts, the Jalen Ramseys, the Von Millers of the world, doing that. And then all of a sudden, they take a year or two off, and then they in just those two off seasons, they reset the books and they reset their players and everything, and they're still competing at a high level. They had one down year a couple years ago after the Super Bowl, but since then, they've been a playoff team every single time, and I feel like their talent level was not near the San Francisco 49ers, and yet they were still able to compete at a high level. So I look at that team and I tell myself, like, why can't the 49ers do that? I have trust in Kyle Shanahan. I have trust in John Lynch. I have trust in the Hall of Famers that are on this team currently right now. Why can't they be the Rams? And again, it starts with the first and second rounds. And to your point, as you just listed them all off, it's just so crucial to me to nail the defensive player. Because outside of Bosa and Fred Warner, they really haven't nailed the top of those drafts. Like Solomon Thomas's, the Drake Jacksons, the Javon Kinlaws.
You know,
so many whiffs there. I mean, they had Eric Armstead for a long time, but that wasn't this regime.
No.
That was a previous regime.
And so is DeForest Buckner.
Yes.
I look at what's really did them in this year with the 6-11, the fact you didn't have first and second round picks for basically 2 years. You needed, like, even if one of those guys is a player, you're hitting. So that brings me back to the 11th pick. I want to trade down. Like, I need multiple picks.
Takes two to tango.
I don't think that's
always
plausible.
In theory, it's always nice, but we've always learned.
It's so hard.
Yes.
That being said, if not, you take the best defensive lineman or outside linebacker possible, or I'm taking the tackle to replace Trent Williams. And you're hoping that you're not drafting this high up in the first round ever again.
There's a blessing and a curse with this, right? It's like, it's a blessing that you have the 11th pick, but it's also like, it means you weren't a very good team last year. But like, you just alluded to it. You might not be in this position again, so you better nail this pick, because you might not be in a position going forward to get a quality player like this in the top 12, top 11 picks, whatever you're picking at. They just don't draft offensive linemen.
The importance of this 11th pick?
I heard Kyle Shanahan last year at Tim Calcomini, and it like, kind of drove me nuts. Like, this philosophy that he thinks he's like too good to draft. My scheme doesn't need to draft offensive linemen in 11th. Like,
it's hubris in what he does. It's like a Don Nelson.
It's kind of ridiculous, though. Like, you can't draft an offensive lineman.
He did draft
Trent
Williams.
Unless they're a bona fide Hall of Famer. I was like, okay. Well, we all think they're going to be bona fide Hall of Famers if you believe in
a guy. They took Mike McGlinchey 10th overall, and it was a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake.
What's the biggest mistake ever? He was serviceable. It's not like he was god-awful.
You didn't even re-sign him.
Okay, but I'm not saying he was god-awful.
If you don't re-sign a first-round pick, that's a bad pick.
Okay, but he did get paid somewhere else and got a fat contract.
I walked around Levi Stadium and said, Mike McGlinchey to a Niner fan. Like, that guy sucks.
Just because he didn't live up to the expectation of a top 10 pick doesn't mean it was a bust to me.
He was not a great football player by any stretch.
Would you say he was solid?
I think he was a liability. Okay. That's what I think he was.
Okay.
He's the main reason George Kittle doesn't get 110 catches during that era, because he has to stand next to him and help him out holding his hand blocking.
I don't think he was as awful as we all want to think
he
was.
The guy is a meme. He was thrown by Micah Parsons across the field like a sack of potatoes.
A lot of people get thrown around by Micah Parsons. There's no shame in that. It's a big man. He's very good. All I'm saying is this. Just because Mike McGlinchey didn't resign, that's going to scare you off from drafting another line?
You're saying they never drafted anyone high, and I'm saying they did.
No, he said it last year. I'm saying Kyle Shanahan basically alluded to saying, like, I don't want to draft offensive linemen in the first
round. Well, I do think that the McGlinchey pick is one of those picks, like, when you do stuff like that, it's like, oh, I better not do that again. It's like the Trey Lance thing. I don't see them ever packaging all that stuff to move up ever again.
Just because he drafted Jamarcus Russell doesn't mean to go back and not draft a quarterback in the first round again.
No, but to trade up and do all that.
I get it, but you're in this position right now.
Like, stick with you.
You're not trading up at this point. Like, if you're trading down, and maybe you do it. But 11th pick, yeah, I think it's absolutely in the realm of possibility that you should be looking into helping out the offensive line, specifically the right tackle.
But like, the other part of McGlinchey, and I don't want to.
No.
They had Trent Brown, and then they let him go, and he immediately won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
Yeah, but after that, like, Trent Brown's been. Is he even in the league still? Is Trent Brown still like? Is he? What is he doing? He's a free agent. No, he's 31. Like, I hear you on that. And he was solid, and he was a Pro Bowl, I think, with the Raiders in his first year. But outside of that, really didn't do a whole hell of a lot. 888-957-9570 is the number we're up against. So we're going to take a quick break. Come on back. More of your calls, more of your texts. And our new segment, Joe Shasky, we're going to do on the other side. It is 49ers related. It's Chat TMR.
Okay.
Get to the YouTube chat right now. We are streaming there. Live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, but specifically YouTube. You're going to want to be involved in this chat, so go ahead and download the YouTube app, or if you have it up, pull it up. You're going to want to be a part of this. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be brought to you by the College Basketball Tournament, because the College Basketball Tournament is here, and stay up to date on all the tournament action via our bracket challenge on 957thegame.com, and be sure to tune in to KPIX Channel 5 for tournament highlights, live updates, and to see your favorite 957 The Game hosts share their thoughts on the tournament. And that's what's coming up next, brought to you by Chilton Autobody.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets.
The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy Ricky Antonio, the winner of the Listener Knockout Champion. You feel me? Shout out to Spadoni and Chats, man, on 95.7 The Game. Can I get a water out?
God, I love that. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Love me some Laughing Monk. Love me some Joe Shasky.
Well, what an Eminem vibe this
morning. I'm here for it. I'm feeling great this morning.
Superman.
Carter's voice isn't sounding great, but that's okay. Don't crack the mic, Carter. Don't do that.
It makes you realize how great Dr. Dre was. God.
Well, the beats are all time. Like, there's no greater name for the headphones that he made, because he just made some of the greatest beats, if not the greatest, in the history of rap.
He is number one all time in the entire category of hip-hop as the greatest producer ever, in my opinion.
No, it's not even...
And I don't just mean, like, making the song, but the beat, the whole thing.
Everything.
The whole production.
I'm not going to argue with that at all. Shout out to those listening on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. And you're going to want to be listening on YouTube and being a part of the chat, because we're going to unveil something here in the coming moments. Dave Fleming going to be joining us at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Dave Fleming, happy to be joining us for another year. Giants talk some tourney with him as the round of 64 gets started today. Both Shasky and I have taken Duke to win it all, so that means they're probably going to get knocked out in the first round, because that's just what happens in the tourney. Chaos happens. Are you one of those people that do, like, multiple brackets, by the way?
No.
I just do one. Like, I'm not here to just... Maybe back in the day, like, in high school, I was really into it. Like, we'd have a pool and stuff.
Yeah.
I think we're doing a pool at the station. Lucas asked me to do it.
Oh, yeah, he hit me up. I didn't even respond.
I didn't. I was like, I'm out. Yeah, I didn't. You didn't even respond?
Nope.
Wow. Just didn't even say no thanks.
No, I don't want to be a part of you trying to get a couple bucks out of me.
Well, I like that. He probably sent the same text. He's like, you know, Kieran won it last year. I was like, oh, great. I was like, that
means nothing to me.
I was like, anyone can win it last year. I was like, I'm not wasting 25 bucks.
Can you give me 25 bucks? No, can you give me the 25 bucks
right?
that you've probably owed me for the last 4 years? All the meals I've gotten you? Jesus.
Hey, there was a Taqueria Bonita? Bonita Taqueria? Back in the day, old station, that was great. The Gambinos back in the day. Yeah, we don't have the Gambinos across the street over here. That's the only thing we're missing. That was that hit the spot.
It makes me jealous because I see Steiny come in with like a ham and croissant sandwich every day.
Every day, huh?
Just about.
It shows.
And he didn't have it yesterday, and I could tell he was a little down.
Well, was that or the Warriors winning? Is that why he was down?
Well, Steiny's been in his bag lately, you know?
He's
the only
it.
Guy that could trade away Steph Curry 15 times and just somehow come out golden.
Shout out Todd Golden, head coach of Florida basketball, is one of the number one overall seeds here in the tourney.
Ex-USF coach.
They're Florida basketball. Not since Billy Donovan have they been this good, I don't think. Billy Donovan, also head coach of the Chicago Bulls, who are not a very good team. Speaking of the Warriors, though, I do want to get into them at some point today because Steve Kerr joined the program yesterday, Willard and Dibbs, as he does each and every week. And he had some interesting thoughts on the win, on Stephen Curry missing a game, and a lot baked into that whole equation of Steph, you know, missing the game. And I think that's why it was such a big win. I didn't get to talk about it yesterday, Joe Shiasky, but what a win yesterday. One of the most disappointing losses and following up with one of the best wins of the season on the back end of a back-to-back against Giannis and Milwaukee Bucks team that they're a playoff team. They're a legit player in the Eastern Conference. And to win that game against Giannis and Dame the way you did, Draymond with four blocks, it was an incredible win. And you could wrap up this homestand at 6-1 if you take care of business tonight against the Toronto Raptors. Warriors live at 6 o'clock right here, 95.7 The Game.
Pajemski's first game back. He looked great.
Joy Willard and Dibbs as well. Can't wait to hear from what Bods had to say, too. We have some sound.
I must have missed that. I'm going to have to go back on YouTube and look that up.
Bods.
Yeah, and so I thought he was excellent.
God just oozes confidence.
GP2 was excellent. I thought that Jimmy Butler was phenomenal. And now the question is, like, can we get Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry to kind of go your turn, my turn? And I'm not saying, like, ISO ball, but can we run certain things through Jimmy Butler with 5-6 minutes to go and kind of blend the methodical pacing of Jimmy with the frenetic all over the place stuff of Steph Curry?
That's kind of like the last piece to the puzzle, right? It's seeing these guys both ball out in the same game at the same time. And that would be scary hours for the rest of the league. Like, because they haven't even clicked together.
How many teams can close in that way?
That's a great question. Like a tandem
that. LeBron and Luka.
LeBron and Luka, Tatum and Brown.
Okay.
They've done it. They could do it. They saw that in the last game of the season.
Both of them are more creators for themselves than they are for others.
Sure.
But I would agree.
But they're so good at doing that it works.
Totally agree.
And they can get their own shots off.
Plus, they've got a lot of really nice pieces around, you know, when Derek White's hitting and Pritchard.
Correct.
I mean, they've got players. And obviously, Jrue Holiday's the guy we always sleep on.
Jokic and Murray, I'll give them that when things are going right because I've seen it win a title. I've seen them do it. It hasn't been consistent this year. There's been injuries, of course, as they lose yesterday. Both of those guys didn't play against the Lakers as the Lakers win that game. What are we at in the Western Conference standings, by the way? Let me pull that up right quick because we're going to be
getting... Got it right here.
Got it right there?
So you got OKC, one spot.
Yep.
And then there's a big drop-off, about a 12-game difference.
The Thunder have won four in a row. The Rockets have won eight in a row.
Yeah, so you got Houston at 45 wins. The Lakers at 43 wins. They're in the
Rockets coming out to play.
Denver in the four spot with 44 wins, but they've got one more loss. Then you got in the five spot, Memphis Grizzlies with 43 wins. Ooh. And then a big drop. Three games, basically, and you've got the Golden State Warriors at the six. Then the box. Clippers, Minnesota, Kings, Phoenix. Phoenix is probably destined. It's them and the Mavs for the 10 spot. The Kings feel like they're a 9-spot team. And then you've got the 7-8 matchup. Could be Warriors, could be Clippers, could be Minnesota. Two of those.
The Clippers have won four in a row. They're red hot. They're a game back. It wasn't the Timberwolves biting at the heels. Now they've lost two in a row. Your Pelicans, they did it yesterday, Joe Shiasky. And I told you to trust in Zion.
I just needed a win from them.
Zion's been balling the last few games again.
Awesome.
Zero expectations for him.
He's got a Kyler feel to him right now where he's must watch, but I also don't trust.
He's going to get hurt or something like that.
Which
sucks to say because I don't want to have to be saying that about a player. It's just like you're just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
Which I don't like saying about guys, but they got to prove us wrong, right? It's going to be an interesting summer for the Pelicans and what they're going to do going in the future. Maybe Zion's going to be the big piece that gets moved this
Brandon
summer.
Brandon Ingram,
right? So I'm very, very curious to see what happens there. I'm also very curious to see how this next segment is going to come to fruition.
All right.
We've been spitballing it. How can we get the chat super involved in the show? Because it's always involved, and we're taking bits and pieces from the Jason Mishlers, the Drew Downs, the Ernie Chavez's, all you people on the chat. We love you. We love the YouTube chat. So we have this thing called Chat GPT, which is AI, right? It's AI generated. You go into ChatGPT. Hey, Brock Purdy is going to be paid so-and-so. And then it'll be like, oh, he's an elite quarterback. I'm butchering it here, but you get what I'm saying.
You ask a question.
You ask a question. Say, is Brock Purdy a franchise quarterback? It'll say, oh, he has done so-and-so. This makes him a so-and-so quarterback. So that's what ChatGPT does. Well, ChatTMR, Chat the Morning Roast, is going to be a little different. I want wrong answers only.
Okay.
That's what I want to do today. So you've heard of Wrong Answers Only, a segment like that?
For those that don't know about the internet, how would you describe it?
So I'm going to throw this out to Sam Lubman, to Carter, to Joe Shasky, to the Morning Roast audience. The 49ers' plans should be blank. John Lynch said this to Matt Barrows yesterday. All right, quote, I have it right here. I think the thing the fans should know is we have a plan, and we're going to execute that plan,
all right,
and we're excited about the opportunity. Wrong answers only.
Okay.
The 49ers plan is what?
I'm going to give you mine, and I want to hear from the chat.
I want the music, too. We got music. Thank you. Oh, we got the NFL.
Wrong answers
only.
But
not on YouTube, unfortunately.
Oh, it's fine.
Here's the wrong answer. You trade away Brock Purdy right now.
Oh, no.
And you go sign Aaron Rodgers for 1 year, $10 million.
Oh, my God.
Why not? Why not?
No one wants Aaron Rodgers at this point. The Minnesota Vikings said, no, we'd rather go J.J. McCarthy.
Why not?
Why not?
The other thing, the other plan is this. They're planning on breaking ground of a new stadium in the heart of San Francisco.
That actually
we're getting
sick.
Rid of the 87th best stadium out of 90 by Google, Yelp, all those different things. We'll get into that a little later, but basically Levi's was very poorly rated. So your wrong answers only, you're asking.
Wrong answers only.
The other part of this wrong answers only.
The 49ers' plans are what?
Here's one of their plans. To strip down the team like Major League so that they could finance their soccer teams in Europe.
You are obsessed with Leeds FC. You're obsessed with them over there.
And the Rangers. They bought some soccer team called the Rangers.
Yeah, they're from from Glasgow or Scotland or whatever. And Glasgow is in Scotland, I know. But get off the soccer team, all right? Just stop worrying about it.
From the chat, Jedi says, the plan is, wrong answers only, to not pay Brock Purdy and draft Jackson Dart to sit behind the Mac attack. That's pretty funny.
The Mac attack?
I bet you there are people out there that really want to do that.
Hey, Jackson Dart's got a sweet flow, I'll say that. That guy looks like he models for Abercrombie & Fitch.
Alan Neal, the Niners should be planning to save all of their money to put a roof on that stadium.
Oh, my God.
Come on, that's funny.
Hey, we got one. Oh, Niner Gang. Is it Niner Gang 4? Start Mac Jones was the secret plan all along. We're going to Mac? The Mac. Brock.
Bring back Trey Lance to back up Mac Jones.
Just making an open competition.
It'd be hilarious.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what they're doing with Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. I was like, oh, so you just don't even care about this upcoming season. That's what you're telling
Never
me.
Never Ready 11 in the YouTube chat. Bring back Jim Tom Sula.
Oh,
that
no.
would be hilarious.
Now, that's the name.
That's the plan. We're getting rid of Chris Kocerek. We're bringing in Tom Sula.
I don't hate that for the offensive line. He's a good offensive line coach. He always was.
He's a D-line coach.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, hey, maybe that's the plan. Have Jim Tom Sula do the D-line.
He was a D-line coach.
Remember, Ray McDonald swore by him.
He's won NFL Europe. He won an NFL Europe. He's a champion.
Oh, there's so many good ones.
Jimmy T, wrong answers only, we're doing it. It's called Chat TMR, the 49ers plans. John Lynch said the 49ers have a plan in place. Well, what should it be? Wrong answers
Billy
only.
Joe, redo the parking lot at Levi's.
That's a good one.
There we
one.
Go. That's what we're saving
I'm
up for.
I'm not mad at that. That should be a plan. That's more of like the city of Santa Clara. Can we have the city of Santa Clara have concerts past 10 o'clock at Levi's Stadium? How about that?
The plan is to make great America great again.
Mac America great again.
That is...
Sidecar Tommy, Mac America great again.
There's a lot of Mac Jones ones. People, guys are laughing. Mac Jones gets an opportunity next year. Let's just see. Let's just see how he looks. There's going to be a contingent of fans saying, you know what? This was Kyle's guy all along, Joe Shasky. This is what he was doing all along.
The plan is to hand out sunscreen for all 1 o'clock starts.
That's actually a good
That's
plan.
That's hilarious.
408, cut Brock Purdy, sign Johnny freaking Football Manziel. Johnny! Hey, he played with Kyle before. Cleveland.
Don't get him close to the ink.
650, trade Brock to the Titans, get their pick, and we pick Abdul Carter with the first pick, then draft with the 11th pick, Jackson Dart.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
So wait, it's Brock high? Straight up for the number one pick?
What do you mean, am I high?
You're trading Brock to the Titans to get the,
number one pick? I think Abdul Carter is going to be ridiculous.
He has a foot injury.
I don't care. I don't care.
He has a stress fracture in his foot.
Those heal so quickly.
He could break every finger on his hand right now. And
dude,
I would
you
take
get sore. Your
yesterday.
Foot's sore and you just walk in.
And I played a doubleheader yesterday and coached the practice. What? He is an elite athlete. Yes, he's not even me. I'm 42, and I'm broken down. Did you watch him? Abdul Carter is ridiculous. He's a freak.
I'm not touching anyone with a stress fracture in their foot with the number one overall pick.
Wrong answers only.
Austin San Jose wants to make Bosa the GM.
I like that.
Yeah, I think they're just going to maybe draft some running
backs. I like that. That's actually really
good.
Figure
out our plan, and I don't know. I'm just going to not do any moves in
the
second
half. We're going to make the Niners great again. 49ers, fire Lynch. This is from the 510. I like that we're getting both YouTube and the text line. That's fine. 888-957-9570. Quite frankly, you can call in if you want to. But I do like that we're going just to the YouTube chat as well. But I got a lot going on here. 49ers fire Lynch and hire Daryl Morey. Trust the process. Niner gang.
Parag. Can you imagine Parag and Daryl Morey running spreadsheets together? That's pretty funny.
I actually kind of love Daryl Morey.
We rename our team to the San Francisco XLs.
Could you imagine, like John Lynch is like a player. Like, he's like intense. Can you imagine Daryl Morey sitting up there with his blazer and t-shirt on, sitting next to Kyle
Audit the overtime rules.
Oh my God. He has a spreadsheet printed out of all the missed calls for the illegal contacts and defensive holdings. Oh my God, what's the equivalent of missing 28 three-pointers in a row, whatever it was? What's the equivalent?
It's Jake Moody kicking in 2024.
Oh no.
That's the equivalent. Jimmy G in the fourth quarter of playoff games.
Fran underscore Instagram. Bring back dollar beer Sundays to numb the pain from watching a mid-Niners team. These are the wrong answers only for the 49ers plan in the offseason.
The plan is to allow Brandon and Ayuk to run the social media account for the 49ers.
Oh, no.
That's funny.
That's pretty good, actually. 510, the plan is to trade Ayuk and the 11th pick to trade up and draft Travis Hunter.
Sidecar Tommy, Draymond Green Travis to offer Hunter positivity training for the 49ers.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Great when Debo was there.
That's pretty good.
Oh, my God. That's pretty good. 415, this is the last one. 49er fans are being so weak that they'll complain about sunny weather games. LOL. That goes back to the roof. Like, that is a thing, though. People don't like the sunny weather. Okay. You get cooked out
there. That's not exclusive to Santa Clara. In Miami, they had to put a roof on because it's too hot.
Especially the humidity, too. It would stadium, be pretty bad.
Yeah, I know we're getting picked on here, but, like, I dare anyone. I'm dead serious on this. I dare you for an October game. Go sit on the sun side without a hat.
You guys remember last year when they tried because it was like the 100-degree game and everyone was like anticipating it, and they tried to do the white jerseys and the league said, no, you have to like install that before the season starts.
That was the game they lost to the Arizona Cardinals.
They couldn't win that. Yeah, they didn't win that game because it was so hot. They tried to do the all whites. They couldn't at home. That was fun. Chat TMR.
The wrong plans only. To actually finish off a team and win a Super Bowl?
Oh, no.
That's a pretty good one to finish on.
That's a good way to finish on.
That brings me to this. You and I have discussed.
That was good. Let's keep doing that going forward. That was fun. That was
polarizing
fun.
Players in the Bay Area. Jimmy Garoppolo was as polarizing as I've ever seen. Ever.
There was so much baked into the Jimmy Garoppolo thing.
But okay, it's similar to Brock. I think Brock is better than Jimmy.
But I don't think Brock is as polarizing as Jimmy.
I do, actually.
Really?
Yeah, quietly, though. We're afraid to say it out loud.
See, I think Jimmy Garoppolo, like, the way it all started and the team was just miserable and it was depressing and, like, the firestorm that came when him winning all those games towards the end, he gets paid, he starts going on dates with porn stars named Kiara Mia. Like, there was a lot baked into the Jimmy. He was handsome, he backed up Tom Brady, yeah, he won Super Bowls there.
The way we talked about him, though, Joe, was two extremes. He sucks.
It didn't start that way, though.
I know, but it was, he sucks. Or he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. It felt like there was no
in between
middle ground.
Yeah.
A happy medium. When I think most people were like, he's solid, a good player, not right. One of the best in the league, certainly not one of the worst.
Yeah.
But we thought he was good. You know, Brandon Belt was extremely polarizing.
For a guy that
people like Sam Lubman.
For a guy that doesn't say a whole hell of a lot, kind of similar to Jimmy Garoppolo, who like they don't say anything. These guys that are so polarizing and they're just such nothing burgers when it comes to quotes are so funny to me.
Like, if you ask a Brandon Belt fan in the heart of the Brandon Belt Wars, they were ready to go to like to go to war. He's as good as Goldschmidt.
Yeah, I remember you guys arguing about JT Snow versus Brandon Belt, yelling at each other.
It's not even close. JT's the better player.
Last Dave Fleming at 8:30.
I also acknowledge he doesn't suck. He's an above average starting first baseman, right? Yeah. But everybody talk about it. He's terrible. He's not even a starter. Blah blah blah. It's wild. Brings me to Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh.
Jonathan Kuminga, on a possession by possession account, we are literally debating amongst friend chats, social media, amongst each other on the couch. Is he good? Is he great? What? Is he awful?
I was out yesterday. Obviously, the Warriors had a very strange game, by the way. They have a big lead. They blow it. They get down double digits. Then they come back and win by double digits. A very odd tone to the game. Obviously, Steph not there. The fourth game back that Jonathan Kuminga's here, okay? It was game number four since returning.
Yeah, but he's very polarizing.
He's very polarizing. What was the tone? I'm just curious. Yesterday, it was a huge win.
Oh, people are excited, but I think we're waiting. Okay, again, because of Jonathan Kuminga.
Were there a lot of calls I'm asking about JK?
He's a lightning rod. Some people think, hey, this guy has star potential, right? Superstar potential. He's the guy that you give the baton to. That's a little strong for me right now. And then other people, he's not an NBA player. That deserves $30 million a year. He sucks. There's a happy medium. I think he's a solid player. He's ascending. I think he's young. I think the team that he's come back to is clearly not the exact same team that he left 2 months ago. They've changed. I think his role has changed. I think he's been up and down in terms of production. I do think he's a solid rotation piece with opportunities to maybe be a high-impact starter. I don't know if he'll ever be an all-star. Like, to be an all-star is really hard.
It's very difficult.
It's really hard in the NBA. I think we throw that around. I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think he sucks. And I think he's extremely useful. But you bring up the name Jonathan Kuminga, you get wildly different opinions. Okay? Very few people are giving you the happy medium, like a Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, he's a solid player. We really need him. He's good. He's not the best. He's not the worst. He's good. He has a lot of potential. What is it about Kuminga that makes him so darn polarizing?
Every single team has to have a built-in scapegoat. I truly believe this with any fan base. It doesn't matter. Give me a team. Give me any team. There's going to be a player that can't get any blame, and there's going to be a player that gets all the blame, no matter what. Steph is never going to get blamed.
Sure.
And he had a bad game the other day against the Nuggets.
It was really bad.
You know, Jimmy Butler, I think, has done so well with this team. They've only lost once when he plays, or twice now. Is that what it is? He's not going to get blamed. Like, Jimmy could do no wrong. At this point, Jimmy could do no wrong.
But why do we have to do the blame game?
Draymond, at times, and then more often lately, he's not going to get blamed.
Draymond critic would acknowledge, like, yeah, he's really good on defense.
He's got the built-up equity, is what I'm saying, Joe Shasky. And that matters to these, like certain icons and brands. Like, it could never have been Kobe's fault. It could never have been Mike's fault. Like, you got to find someone, and it's easy to gravitate towards the younger players that haven't been established, that haven't proven their worth in the playoffs. So you know what? It's easier for me to poke and push down that guy because you know what? He hasn't shown me yet that he's capable of doing it. Albeit, well, the first half of the season, he was your team's second best scorer. When the team wasn't, you know, very good and they were mired and they were up and down. And I do think there is this preconceived notion about the attitude of a Jonathan Kuminga. And I think
What do you mean?
Well, a couple years ago, Joe Shasky, I think a lot of people, he still rubs people the wrong way because of him voicing his frustrations in that playoff series going up against the Los Angeles Lakers when he was going to CJ Holmes, the San Francisco Chronicle. You know, we saw all the reports from Sham Sharani of ESPN where he was saying, Kuminga's camp, he's frustrated with Steve Kerr. You know, we had that graphic early on the season. Remember, it was benched. It was all in big graphic. He was like, benched.
But wasn't he polarizing even before that? I agree.
But it's heightened even more since the last couple seasons where you've kind of pigeonholed yourself into it's Steph And then we need Jonathan Kuminga to start stepping up because they didn't get Lauri Markkanen. They didn't get Paul George.
Yeah, but he did step up. He was good. But like
he was good, but the team wasn't doing very well. Like, so like it was kind of, I think a lot of fans were having a hard time rationalizing Jonathan Kuminga, you know, being the team's second best scorer, but it wasn't translating to a lot of wins.
Is it because he represents maybe not a threat, but like, hey, this guy is supposed to prolong Steph's career, and he's not good enough yet, and what he represents is them not moving picks to help Steph more now.
Correct. I think a lot of people are waiting for Jonathan Kuminga to be that next big piece to a championship run, and I just have to caution them and say, listen, he's not going to be the first reason or second reason you're going to win a title. If anything...
But did you think about that about Wiggins?
No, I didn't.
I didn't,
but at the same time, he was an all-star that season. He proved himself to be an all-star caliber player.
But at 22 years old, I don't think he should be the second best player on this
team. No, I don't either.
And just like Jordan Poole wasn't the second best player on the 2022 championship, though at times he could play like their second best player.
But when I have an Anthony Slater, who you respect, I respect, the fan base respects, who covers the team for The Athletic and for 95.7 The Game. He joined you and Evan yesterday. Hell of an interview. If you missed any of it, find it on YouTube or the free Odyssey app. Anthony Slater, he's telling us in the fan base that, you know what? You're going to need Jonathan Kuminga if you want to beat Oklahoma City.
Draymond said it. Draymond came out and said,
so that's why people,
we need this guy.
That's why people are frustrated, and that's why it's polarizing, because you keep telling us we need this guy, and I agree, you need this guy. Well, 2 of 10 is not going to get it done.
Yeah, but he's not playing. Okay, but he's not playing 40 minutes a game, and
you're asking me why he's polarizing. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Like, I hear you. He's also not starting. He's coming off the bench. He's playing with guys that don't pass well. Like the combinations that he's playing alongside. Like, there's no nuance with him, and I just don't understand why every possession should not be a referendum on whether you're good or not. It felt like we did this. Every Brandon Belt at bat was a referendum on, see, he sucks. See, he's good.
Yeah, but
right? The same thing with Jimmy G. Every touchdown, told you he's good. Every pick, same old Jimmy. Like, there are some guys, I don't know what it is.
Let's keep it to basketball.
Okay.
Because, and it's going to be hard.
Did we do it with Jordan Poole?
That's exactly who I was going to bring up. Well, I feel like we did do this to Jordan
Poole. But not
early on. No, but it was after the Draymond punch. So maybe that's baked into it. Maybe that's a little unfair.
Yeah, you're probably right.
No, we definitely did.
Did we do it with Klay Thompson?
Last year we did. Last year we had
way more equity than Jonathan's ever.
No, absolutely.
So what about body language? Is it body language?
Body language matters a lot.
I don't think his body language is that bad.
I don't either. I think he smiles a lot. I think he's a happy-go-lucky guy. I think, actually, quietly, the way he's been speaking to the media recently, he's been very eloquent in what he's had to say. I think he's matured a lot. The way I've just heard him speaking about Jimmy Butler and reacquisitioning to the team and just talking about the leadership on this team and being a head down guy and just staying narrowly focused. I've been very impressed with JK and just what I've heard from his snippets talking to the media.
Is it the money? Because I do believe with Jordan Poole, the day he signed the money,
that's part of it.
And I think like the talk about him rejecting the $30 million conversation, whether real or not, I think for a segment of fans, like, oh, he's not worth $30 million.
Same with Ayuk. Right.
Wow, that's a really good one.
Jordan Poole.
That's a really good one.
And he hasn't even signed the money with Jonathan Kuminga. It's just where you're getting these numbers floating
out. How's that fair?
It's not. Like, these guys, like he's going to get paid. Like, yeah, whether by the Warriors or not, like, he's going to get paid.
I just don't understand, like, why. Because if we just say, I want to hear from the audience. 888-957.
I told you why.
What is it?
Why is he polarizing 888-957-9570?
Because the flashes of brilliance, to me, are the enticing things that keep me going, like, dude, like, we just got to stay patient. Development's not linear. Like, but again, I also understand, like, me saying flashes of brilliance doesn't mean, like, oh, he's an all-time, he has potential to be Giannis. I'm not that absurd. I'm saying, like, this guy can be the third or fourth best player on this team this year if they want to win a championship. That's a great accomplishment.
I think so, too.
That's a hell of a basketball player.
Willen Marin wants to join in the conversation on what makes Jonathan Kuminga so polarizing to the fan base. 888-957-9570. What's up, Will? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I think it kind of brings up a point that you brought about Brandon Belt. Misled hype around players makes them polarizing, and this is why. Because when Buster Posey came up, you know, he was supposed to be this two-way talent guy, and he answered the nod. And then I remember, and I know you remember this, Joe, was that Brandon Belt was honestly supposed to be better. He was supposed to be like J.T. Snow with the glove, and he was going to end the drought of balls not reaching McCovey Cove, but he never answered that. So it made Brandon Belt very polarizing, because there were times in the league where he would look very good, and you'd be like, okay, he turned the leaf, and it's like, no, he's still struggling with the inside fastball. So what I'm alluding to is I think the same thing happens with Jonathan Kuminga, and you brought this up on the show, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Shafi, is that a lot of the times the Warriors don't have the patience with the youngsters going through growing pains, yes. So they don't allow them to learn and get better during the fire. So when you have Jonathan Kuminga, when he first comes back and he's cutting to the basket, he's slamming, you're like, oh, my God, all right. He's chill, Butler's in the house, he is learning on the sidelines, he does have a higher IQ, blah, 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 blah. He's great, right? But then it just seems like when he has a bad game, it's just like, oh, well, he wasn't consistent enough, or, you know, he didn't do the same thing over and over again. I just feel like in sports these days, with young talent and the new toys that everyone's so surprised about, it that they forget about growing pains, and they forget mm-hmm. that at the professional level, mm-hmm. that consistency is very difficult for someone that's young. I mean, people still forget that Jonathan Kuminga is in, like, his younger 20s, and you want to, like, already give up on him on one of the most difficult games to play. It's like, just let the guy grow. I think they need to let him, like, play through his pains more. So what makes him polarizing is there was a ton of hype around him coming up. He does show flashes of brilliance, and you're right. He's probably not going to end up this, like, legitimate, like, you know, like, stalwart all-star. But I think he could be an amazing player, and who's not to say he couldn't become that? But I just think that they have to let him grow more, let him play through his tough times, and that's honestly what makes him polarizing. It's not Kuminga. It was false hype that's around him, or lack of him giving inconsistency and letting him grow through the pains of the fire.
It's a good point. No, it's a good point. And I'm sure there's other opinions, but like I go back to the old Warriors, right? Joe Smith, ACC Player of the Year. And I was like, no, he's not the guy to pick. They took him. And he actually had a great rookie year. And he just never lived up to the hype. The hype thing is real. I agree with him there. The other guy that I'm going to bring up is Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy, when he was drafted, we were supposed to get Yao Ming. That was the number one pick that year. We were awful. Dunleavy had a great tournament and a couple of final games. And the number one pick was Yao. The number two pick was Jason Williams. I think people forget Jason Williams was very coveted coming out of Duke. And he had the horrible car accident, motorcycle accident.
Jay Williams.
Yeah, what did I say?
Jason? He said Jason Williams.
Jay, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, Jay Williams different, but you see him on ESPN. He's a college basketball. But yeah, you're right. He was supposed to be that guy, and then he got hurt.
The hype around Dunleavy was unfair. Like, and I'm going back to like how I felt. You know what I mean? Like, Jay Rich didn't have the hype of Dunleavy, and he put in a lot of work and everything. And he was always a beloved guy. Dunleavy never got over on the audience. No. It just never at
like
any
you're
point.
Going to WWE.
He never did. Yeah. And there's a part of JK where I feel like the half the crowd is just. They're just waiting for him to explode. And the other half of the crowd is just waiting on the very next mistake.
Yeah.
It's wild to me.
And
he wasn't the second or third pick. He was the seventh pick.
It was wild to me.
Right?
He was a top 10 pick. And again, it's not all the same, right? Because a top 10 pick in football is not the same as a top 10 pick in basketball. Like a lottery pick, like the first couple of them is usually the cream of the crop. And then you've got 5, 6, 7. It's like,
yeah, maybe.
There's tiers. Maybe it works, right? But having said that, being a victim of your own draft stock or where you were selected in the draft is a real thing, because we see in the NFL all the time, Trey Lance is always going to be labeled a bust because he was a top three pick.
And what they traded for him.
Correct.
And the team that he inherited.
Yep.
And that coach, with all his cachet, hand-selected him.
Yep.
To replace a very polarizing player.
And you know what? Maybe things were different if he hadn't gotten hurt. Like, there's always a trickle-down effect of everything when it comes to that. Now, it's similarly with James Wiseman, right? James Wiseman, we're never going to know. He was, you know, the number two overall pick, number two overall pick. Like, maybe if he doesn't hurt his meniscus, everything's different.
Know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
I don't know.
But with Jonathan Kuminga, you know, you did win a title. In the James Wiseman pick, it didn't end up working. But you always have that title look back on it. Now, you would have liked to have a player of that caliber still to be with this team, and maybe it changes everything. But it was weird watching the game, even though I was kind of feeling like I was as sick as a dog, and I was watching the game, and I was on social. I was like, what? Everyone's just like, the timeline's like going nuts on Kuminga right now. I was like, that wasn't even on my mindset. Like, it just was. I was like, okay, he's struggling. Like, this is his fourth game back, but like, are we really going to do this? Are we really just going to be crushing this guy every single game if he's not? They won the game by double digits. Like, I was more interested in what Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green was doing, but for some reason, we always have to harp on a single player that's not doing what he's supposed to do. Kind of like the offensive line in football, right? Like the team might be winning, but it's just, oh, the right tackle whiffed on there. Oh, I don't know.
But it's not the NFL. Like the NFL, you have 3 years of college, and so it's more plug and play. The NBA.
And we knew he was raw, though, heading into the league.
He was 18 years old coming out of the G League.
See, I'm actually going to do this comp instead. It's kind of what's driving me nuts with what's going on with Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts. You knew this guy was a project. You drafted him in the top five, and then he gets hurt, is working in the second or third game, whatever it was with the Colts, has to basically redshirt his entire rookie season. So he's basically a rookie last year, if you want to bake all of that into it. He has some ups and downs, a lot of downs, and then you pivot off him after, what, halfway through the season to go to 40-year-old Joe Flacco? When you knew all along he was a project, he should have been going through the growing pains. Like, no one's expecting the Indianapolis Colts to be a real contender last year. Like, you need to be, you know, seasoning this quarterback and getting him these live game reps, this guy that you all considered a project, and you can't live with the downs, so you pivot to 40-year-old Joe Flacco for God knows why. He stinks. He turns back into a pumpkin. Then you go back to your rookie, who actually wins you a game in Foxborough and has a great comeback win, and you get some positive momentum. And then what do you do this season? You bring in Daniel Jones and you say it's an open competition. So you're just setting yourself up to fail if you're Shane Steichen and co. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's not that level, but it reminds me of that. Like, when it reminds me of the whole Anthony Richardson thing, or you knew he's a project, but your only thing you're going to be doing is going through the growing pains of a player, and that's what you're going to need to be doing with Jonathan Kuminga, albeit there's actually expectations now. So fans are getting upset because there are quote-unquote championship expectations with Jimmy, with Draymond, and obviously with Stephen Curry. You got Steve Kerr, who's won four titles as a head coach. So any single mistake is going to get heightened because fans are thinking this is a championship window now, Joe Shasky. So any mistake he moves, all right, well, I mean, they've got to yank him. This is a championship team. We can't be living with these mistakes. I would caution that to say, instead of tearing this guy down, you're going to want to be building him up going forward because you're going to need him having a positive mental outlook come playoff time. I say all that to say, I've said a lot and I've thrown a lot at your plate, Joe Shasky. I'm just saying all of this, just give him some time to get back involved with this team. He hasn't had a month or two like some of these other players have had to play with Jimmy Butler. And they've barely even played together as it is. They've been staggering the minutes with those guys because they're trying to ease him back in. Can we just give him some breathing room? Can we do that, please?
Well, I'm with you. But again, he's very polarizing. I think what he represents is it could have been a veteran player that would help them win a championship. It's like, all right, well, who's that player? And that's number one.
And then are they going to give you the upside that Jonathan Kuminga is going to give you?
Well,
and
I get it. Are we going to see the upside? Right? Yeah. Like that's
got to give it time.
I'm trying to play the other side of the coin.
Got to give it time.
So like, here's the guy that you referenced, Richardson, which is a good one. I like that. NFL's a little different.
It
because
is
of how quick the jobs.
But
move.
He was, if you don't know, Anthony Richardson, no, you're right. Out of Florida, very
what
raw.
What if I gave
prospect.
You Jermaine O'Neal?
Okay.
Do you know Jermaine O'Neal was drafted by the Portland Trailblazers?
Yes.
Sat behind Rasheed Wallace, Brian Grant. They acquired Sabonis.
Yeah.
They brought in Detlef Schrempf at one point later on.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was buried for like 4 or 5 years on the bench of the Portland Trailblazers. They were in championship win now mode. But the difference was like Kuminga has contributed. Kuminga's shown more than even what Jermaine O'Neal has shown.
Yeah.
And like, you had Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed Wallace was so good.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize. So it was really difficult to find a way to get him on the floor. He didn't become an all-star until year six. His fifth year in the league, he averaged 12 points a game. With his first full season with the Pacers. Like, that's the kind of development that used to be in the NBA when you took a high school player. And I think now we just expect these 18 and 19-year-olds to come into the league and play right away. Pods has been up and down, and he was more game-ready than Kuminga was, correct?
Correct.
Moody's been really up and down, and I think most people thought he was more NBA-ready than even where Kuminga's at. And now in year four, you're starting to see a real big leap forward for Moses Moody. But like Kuminga doesn't get the level of tolerance that those guys get at all. And I don't get it. I don't understand why. Is it because Jonathan you know, doesn't smile enough? Is that what they want?
I think it's
honestly.
No, it's because of what took place. I think a lot of people are.
You really think people remember him complaining about it?
Yes.
He wasn't the only one.
No, but he was complaining in the fact that he went to the media.
But he was good that year and got benched for a guy that was nowhere to be found.
I understand, but people thought it was, you know what, Rook or second year player, you need to take a seat back. Like
it was I hear you. It's just, I don't know, man.
I also don't think the organization and the head coach empowered him a lot too, and you know the way that Steve Kerr spoke about him to the media at times, you know, it kind of make the fan base feel a little bit like, well, man, you know, Steve Kerr likes to call this guy out a lot, this kid, and maybe that's Steve Kerr's way of motivating him. But the way it comes off to the fan base sometimes is, man, maybe he's in Steve Kerr's doghouse. I don't know. Like fans listen to that stuff. Like they gravitate towards the head coach, and if the head coach is saying, you know what, this guy needs to get his act together, I'm going to listen to the head coach on that. We're up against it, Joe Shasky. We're going to take a quick break after the injury report. I want to pick this up on the other side, though, because it is an interesting conversation about what makes certain players so polarizing to a fan base, particularly a guy like Jonathan Kuminga with this Warriors team this year. 888-957-9570 is the number. Plus, we got Dave Fleming coming up at 8:30, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Talk a little Giants, talk a little tourney. It is March Madness, round of 64 starting today. We'll get into that a little bit later as the show goes on. But first, injury report time.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Oh, Stephen Curry is not on the Warriors injury report for tonight's game against the Raptors. Gary Payton II is, however, GP2 is listed as a game time decision due to some soreness in his left knee. Everyone else will be available for the Warriors. The Raptors are expected to be without RJ Barrett for some load management. Okay. Raptors are doing load management now, huh? The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years was coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your text on why Jonathan Kuminga is so polarizing to you. Spadoni, Chasky, Morning Roast, halfway home on a Thursday, 95.7 The Game.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.